DraftKings.com is sponsoring another one of our episodes, which is awesome. DraftKings is the best. Your season-long fantasy football team may be going strong. Good for you. But you don't have to wait until week 16 to get paid. Put your fantasy skills to the test every week this season at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. There's all kinds of different games, depending on what you want to do. There's 50-50s. Where teams finishing in the top half of the field win cash no matter the number of entries. There's a head-to-head where winner takes all. If you go to DraftKings.com, it'll show you the number of people in that league. It'll show you the number of people playing, how much you could win, when it goes live, how you enter. If you use my promo code LAUGH, L-A-U-G-H, you get free entry, guys. Free. With 1 week fantasy, there's no season-long commitments. It's whatever you feel like playing. You got an injured player? That is not a problem. You can get more players. Just get more. Just do another game. Do another league. Do another session. It's like a new season every week, so you're never stuck with the same players. If one goes down, you check out the bench, you grab another one. And get this, DraftKings is crowning a new millionaire every week this entire season. That means you could turn your love of football into the payday of a lifetime. Just pick your players, pile up the points, and pick up your cash. That's it. And the more you know about football, the higher the probability you're going to win. Knowledge of the game helps. Believe me, you've never experienced football like this before. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. So hurry to DraftKings.com right now. Use promo code LAUGH, L-A-U-G-H, and play for free with your first deposit in this Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest, where first place takes home 100 grand. Enter LAUGH for free entry right now, only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.dot, but you don't spell the D-O-T, it's represented by an actual dot, and then com, which I'm pretty sure is short for communication. I don't know why we still need the com, but it's there. It's there, guys, you gotta use that com. I don't know why we use www. www. World Wide Web is less syllables. www is not an abbreviation. DraftKings.com. Thank you. And now another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? A very special episode with friend, star, comedian, actor, and now author, my friend Kunal Nayyar from The Big Bang Theory, who just wrote a book that I want you all to read. It's called Yes, My Accent is Real. He's the best. All right, so check this out.
Why didn't they laugh?
You suck!
That's not funny.
I wanted to make friends like I had back home. That's all. I just wanted to make friends. I used to go to The Gap a lot because people who worked at The Gap were very nice. I think it's part of their corporate culture. They have to be nice to you.
You just went to Walmart and kept saying hi to them.
Not even Walmart, Gap. Gap specifically.
That's awesome.
They were always like, hey, how are you? How's your day going? I'm like, great. Taking 9 extra credits this season, this semester, so I'm pretty struggling, you know? How's your day going? Like, I would go to The Gap and talk to these, I'd have conversations with these people because I felt like I could connect with them. And then I didn't want them to think that I was coming there just to talk to them. So I would buy like inane things for 30 cents. Hair ties. I bought a lot of hair ties.
That was some audio from a thing that Kunal just came out with his book. And he asked me to help moderate a live event at livetalksla.org, which is an awesome organization. They have incredible authors come by and talk about what they're working on. It's really cool. And I was so happy to be a part of that. So I am dedicating this episode to Kunal because he wrote a book and it kicks ass and he's a great dude. I review a lot of books on here. I'm constantly ingesting books. And so when a friend writes a book, I get, I get a little nervous that it's going to be good because I know what I'm talking about. I've been around the book block a couple times. And so I read Kunal's and it was fantastic. It's called Yes, My Accent is Real. And it's a memoir of his life. And for those of you that don't know, he plays Raj on The Big Bang Theory, which is the most popular comedy show in the world. I mean, just straight up kicks ass. You know, a lot of comedy shows, when I was on Sullivan and Son, we'd be super happy if we got 2.5 million viewers. That was seen as a win. That was a huge number for the network. Big Bang Theory gets at least 20 million every episode, and their reruns get 3 million, 4 million. It's monstrously popular. And it's a wonderful show. I've gotten pretty into physics, not actually the numbers of the physics, although I'm trying to understand that a little more. But ever since I've been doing the Surely You're Joking podcast with Kevin about physics, it's such a cool culture. And I think that according to those guys, they depict it very well. And he plays a very lovable guy on there, and he's a great dude. And I've been friends with him for a while. And so, yeah, we did this event. Well, I should say he did this event and was kind enough to ask me to be a part of it. So we have a couple cool clips from it. And it's applicable to this podcast because I think what he faced first coming to America and first you know, getting into acting, why he got into acting, what motivated him, the problems he faces every day. There's some poignant moments when he lets you in on what people of his caliber go through. Because I don't think a lot of people understand that the struggle, the struggle of life never ends. It only can be magnified. You know, Biggie can say more money, more problems, and people just think it's like a almost like a humble brag or a funny little rap song, something fun to sing. It's totally true. It's not necessarily more money, more problems, but more money, more amplitude. Whatever you're going through is amplified. And money in the sense of currency, whether that be influence or fame or actual money or land or whatever it is, it's just things just become louder. And I've known, I met him when he was already famous, but I've known him now for years, and he's such a good dude. Like, that clip from the beginning is true. It's like when you first start hanging with Indians, and I'm talking dot, not feather, you know, Indian, like, chicken tikka masala, not like Sitting Bull, Trail of Tears Indian. Like, when I say Indian, I mean actually from India. I don't know why you got to clear that up, but some people are like, they still think that Native Americans are from India, which is, you know, that's a 500-year-old gaffe that we can all kind of come together at this point and say, when you say Indian, you don't mean like a Native American. That's still like when you, let's say you take a turn where you're like, oh, this is Fifth Avenue. And it's like, oh no, it's Broadway. You're like, oh, then it's Broadway. Basically with Indian and Native American, it was like, oh, this is Fifth Avenue. And they're like, no, it's Broadway. It's like, nah, I'm going to call it Fifth Avenue for 500 years. So here's a clip of Kunal talking about, I asked him about like what his experience was. Cause one thing about his book was the acceptance of loneliness. And how it motivates you. And he moved to America for college. He went to Oregon, and he had never been to America, and he just kind of got on a plane and just came. And his dad and his family at home sound awesome. But I lived in the Czech Republic for a year, so I understand a lot of the things he's talking about. But I'll play a clip from the event.
When I moved from New Delhi, so when I was growing up in Delhi, I felt very comfortable. I would talk about music and everyone would know the music I was talking about. I would watch TV shows and everyone knew the TV shows I was talking about. So it's not like I came to America and I was like, oh my God, like American culture, what is this? You know, it wasn't like that. But suddenly I was taken out of a circumstances where I felt very, very normal into a circumstance where I suddenly felt like I was just so different.
Right.
Though in my heart I didn't feel different. Right. I mean, in my personality, I didn't feel different. I'm still the same person. I felt very sort of like gregarious and wanting to make a joke and make friends. But I felt so different. So loneliness to me at that point was a very new feeling when I was 18 years old. It was the first time I felt strange being in my own skin. Because in India, you're brought up so much family. Everyone's around you. You know, you feel so satiated. You feel so, like, full. And then I came to America and I was alone for the first time. And I didn't know what that felt like. So I was walking through campus one day and I went to the theater department. I saw the theater and I walked into the theater and I saw these headshots. Pretty girls I saw, you know. And I thought, like, wow, this is so cool. The kids are smoking outside and I felt like this is like... And I saw auditions for this play. I said, okay, I'll audition for this play because maybe I'll make friends. And the play at the time was called Ring Around the Moon. I mean, not at the time it was called that. It's still called that. But this play, Ring Around the Moon, I auditioned for it. They needed a part for an old British butler. I could do a British accent. I got the part. He's like a 60-year-old British butler. I played him like he's 117 with Parkinson's. You know, I was like, can I get you a glass of water? You know, it was one of those so bad. The acting was so bad. And I got into the play, and then I met all these people, and I thought, wow, okay, the theater is a space where you can be different and be accepted.
Yeah.
That's what really drew me to the theater. It's not like I wanted to, at the time, to be an artist or anything. I was studying business. I didn't know what I wanted to do. But the theater...
And that point registered a lot to me, as it does most artists and most comedians. There's times in your life when you just want to feel accepted for who you are. And he was a cool kid in India. That's the funny part. I was pretty popular in high school. He was popular. He was like a badminton champ. But you come to America, no one cares about badminton. Even though badminton's legit, I actually started YouTubing some of it after reading the book. And the shuttlecock flies around. It's a tricky little cock. But yeah, it's not about being like an... Like, people will be like, well, I was a nerd, so I did drama. It's not about being a nerd. It's about not quite fitting in, but fitting in. Where you're like, I don't know, like, where do I go where I can say what I want to say and not feel weird or uncomfortable? And that's what drew me to comedy as well. And I think that for all those people out there listening that... have those feelings, embrace them. You know, everyone doesn't have to be the same. Everyone doesn't have to be coddled all the time and told they're special and have everyone accept them all the time. Because if someone isn't accepted, they'll find where they are accepted and then they'll shine there. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and it's also the motivation when he was talking about, I wanted to meet girls, I wanted friends. I've had openers on the road be like, how do you headline? Like, what credit gets you to headline? I'm like, bro, when I was featuring, when I was in your position, I was thinking like, how do I make the front row want to hang out with me? How do I make girls want me? How do I make guys want to be my friend? It's not about like, how do I win? And from his experience, from what it sounds like, and I know he is being genuine, it wasn't like, how do I win an Oscar? It's like, how do I... have someone to high-five me and a girl to kiss me. Like, our basic motivations are the same on every level. Like, rather you're... I know nothing about the guy who made the Eiffel Tower, except for the fact I'm guessing his name was Eiffel. But I always picture him just building this tower and just being like, does anyone want to hang out now? All right, here's some more. This part I thought was interesting because I obsessively hate horns. So this is a bit eye-opening.
Like, for example, one thing that blew my mind about your book was you missed horns.
Missed what?
Horns, honking.
Oh, I missed honking, yeah.
Yeah, so in India, apparently, they're constantly honking.
If your horn breaks down, you better not drive in Delhi. Because people don't look in the rearview mirrors or the side view mirrors. They don't, literally. It's like... it's rude if you don't honk if someone's coming into your lane. It's almost opposite. It's like people will start coming into your lane and then you honk and they're like, okay, cool, man, I'll stay out, you know? It's like opposite.
Yeah, and you miss that.
I miss sound. When I came to America, I was in Portland, Oregon. It was like quiet. Very quiet. I missed...
just the sound of a hipster ordering a coffee.
I still do that at home. I sleep with a fan on. because I'm so used to noise. In growing up in New Delhi at 5:30 in the morning, the mosques begin to sing the religious songs. And it then became a competition between which mosque would sing loudest. and then the temples would start, and then the gurdwaras would start. So you woke up to so much noise, and Delhi's so, we're so crowded, so you can hear the neighbor screaming at the neighbor, and you know, then you're sleeping, and then there's the guys who come to collect the garbage. It's not a garbage truck. It's guys on rickshaws saying like, kabadalele, 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 at 5:30 in the morning. And I miss that. Now the garbage truck is like, meh, meh, meh. My dog's going nuts. I'm like, this isn't life. So, this isn't real life.
So America's more sterile. Is that, like, there's more space?
It feels more sterile. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I've lived here almost 15 years, but it's clean. This is so clean. You know, not in a good way or a bad way. It just, it's clean in a way that we're not used to growing up in India. You guys had air conditioners in school, you know, we had fans, and that too, in the heat, the electricity would go. So you'd be in, and it's not like we're sitting, oh my God, like, we're so poor and all that. It wasn't like that. It's like, oh my God, there goes the electricity, you know, it's this annoying as shit. I think that's a very interesting thing I learned about life. Like, growing up in India, you see a poor person, and you immediately think that they're sitting at home thinking, I'm so poor, my life is horrible.
Right.
But it's not. It's almost rude of me to think that they have a... Some of them are the happiest people in the world. When it rains in New Delhi, people come out on the streets and they're dancing and they're happy and they're singing and that kind of happiness, you know? I feel like the more success I get, that's what I'm chasing. It's like going on the street and dancing in the rain.
Bro, if you
Welcome
want
to the Hallmark channel.
Yeah. I'll dance with you in the rain any day.
It never rains in Los Angeles.
Bro, we can get a sprinkler.
You gotta conserve water.
We'll play some Enrique Iglesias, Bailamos. We'll go crazy. Bro, I'm in.
I think it's pronounced Bailamos.
I opened for his dad. Did you know that? I opened for Julio Iglesias for a while.
What?
5,000 people didn't speak English, and I was doing stand-up comedy.
Wait, his dad is a stand-up comedian?
No, his dad is, like, almost outsold the Beatles. Julio Iglesias.
But why did you do comedy for him?
Because he likes to make them laugh before they make love. Swear to God.
That's so good.
And no one spoke English.
Getting used to the noise. That's a powerful concept. Because we all have our own form of noise. Whether it's emotional chaos, or actual noise, or physical exertion. I've faced that in different ways. For me, I think that my family was so verbose, very verbal, a lot of emotions. We'd fight like crazy or like be very loving. So in relationships, I think I would create or seek, not necessarily create, but seek chaos because it made me feel at home. I mean, a lot of people are like that. I feel that you just, like if you're used to horns, you make horns. And pretty interesting. It's also why I jog every day. Everyone's always like, how do you run every day? I'm like, because if I don't, I'll lose my mind. I think genetically, whatever I am, we're some sort of laborers or warriors or some kind of physical thing. Because if I don't do shit every day, I'm just, I start losing my mind. And that's why I love having friends with completely different backgrounds than me. Just thinking about having fans in school, and then the electricity would just go out. And then you're like, oh. And that insight into wealth is very powerful and very real. Because living in Los Angeles and having a sense of success, I'm on an interesting level where I have had success and I'm not at the same time. It's almost like you can have one foot and I'm not going to get fucking. But I used to do a bit where when you get rich, you have the same nightmares. You just wake up on sheets with a higher thread count. Like if you get molested in the back of a Land Rover, it still sucks. Whether you're molested in a Range Rover or a Chevette, it's still a molestation. You know what I mean? And his seeking that dancing in the rain feeling, we all relate to it. We all relate to that. And I think it's important that people that watch TV or the E! Channel or look through the magazines and stuff and covet that. Because people do. And if you say, I don't do that, then you definitely do. There's a trillion-dollar industry based on coveting some sort of wealthy lifestyle. And just know that for sure, there's something about your life that those people want so bad. Because everyone, we're always in the state of climbing. You know, the Greeks with Sisyphus pushing the boulder forever up the mountain. It's something that we've never not had. And this is one thing that I have in common with Kunal is we're pretty happy dudes in the sense that we know what makes us happy. Whether you're on his level, which is a syndicated, just crazy international hit, or my level, which is like just a working comedian. You know, I get props, but I still have to worry about bills. I still have to worry about, you know, stuff like that. But the things that make you happy are like conversations with friends, dinners, you know, doing a shot and a high five, you know, playing with your dogs, getting married, having children, you know, teaching your kid something, seeing your kid talk for the first time or walk. I see the light in my brother's eyes that I do not see from, you know, booking a big movie or getting an Oscar or something. Because I've been around people that have achieved some of those monstrous goals. And not saying that it's not good, because I've seen people ecstatic when things like that happen. But that's because they have friends, they have a wife or a husband or a dog. We're communal monkeys, man. We're communal little monkeys. We're monkeys. And never forget that. And another point that he made that I love is that it's rude to assume superiority based on wealth. I was at a baseball game once with a guy, and we're so used to doing this social media stuff for promoting whatever show we were on at the time, and we're at a baseball game, and my buddy turns to like just some random dude, and he goes, "Hey man, will you go out and take a picture of me?" And the guy goes, "Of just you?" And something clicked in my head where I was like, "We're fucking assholes." I see that all the time with, you know, whether it's another race or now it's this whole transgendered obsession, where when you say you can't make fun of something, that's the worst thing you can do to those people, because you're saying there's something wrong with you. You can't be part of the group. You can't be part of the laugh. When you look at like a someone struggling to make it work and, you know, just shoeless playing with a soccer ball that they made in the street, don't assume that you're better than them, because not even in a biblical higher power way, just straight up, they may be way happier than you. Some of the happiest moments of my life was just when I'm with my family, or just literally sitting on a dock with my brother. I mean, that to me is just heaven, just the crackling of fire and just conversation and food and just smiling and reminiscing. That's what life is. And that's an important thing about today's episode is, listen, money is awesome and success is awesome because it allows you to do who you are. That's why Kunal's a happy guy, because he is an actor. He is a people person. He is a ham. He likes to make people laugh. So his success only excels who he is, and he can be him. But just success when it contradicts who you are is a dangerous, dangerous road. And money can be a great thing when you have things that you enjoy that you can spend it on. Food, travel. You know, if you're into cars, get your favorite car. If you like books like me, like don't hesitate to get every book you want. Just boom, you don't even have to think about it. I know people that don't have that luxury. And that's when money is awesome, because I love food and I live near the water, you know? That costs money, but I love it. I love every day. I appreciate it. But money just for the sake of money is a hole. You're just digging yourself a grave, and then you just lie in it and then cover the dirt over yourself. Because if you buy a yacht and you don't like boating, you're a fucking moron. If you buy a yacht because you like boating, great. You're going to boat really well. But if you do it just because you think rich people have yachts, you're going to just become a fucking douche. When they say a diamond is a girl's, if a diamond is your best friend, you're a sociopath. Like if a diamond is your best friend, you're fucking terrible to be around. Now, if you have best friends and you also like diamonds, that's all good. But don't assume that you're better than someone based on things or status, because you don't know how much fun it can feel when you're just barefoot in the fucking street. That being said, you know, it does also suck being poor because you're always stressed about cash. Okay, let's check out another clip. What is next up on the docket? Oh, here's a funny moment. This is a... Because I'm kind of obsessed with Indian culture because they're just beyond... At first, they're almost like a nation of Jimmy Fallons. Like, when I first met Jimmy Fallon, like, we're not close friends by any stretch of the imagination because I haven't seen him in so many years, but, like, I've done his show. We toured together. I've hung out with him for hours. He really is that nice. And I used to think he was messing with me. Like, I do a bit about him running for president or him interviewing. He could interview... He literally could be like, no way, like, what's it like being a janitor? Like, that's so cool. Like, the roots are here, Tribe Called. He really is like that. And Indians are like that. Like, when I first met Kunal, and he'd, like, just invite me and my girl out for dinner or something, or just, like, they're really like that. There's people in the world that are just legitimately nice as fuck. And Americans aren't. I mean, I am very pro-American. I love America. I love it. But we're fucking dickheads. Check out this clip.
Why do you think Indians are the friendliest people on the planet?
Oh, really? You think that?
100%.
Really?
1,000%. Like, Indian people are so friendly. It's, in my opinion.
I'm asking about what you think? I don't know. Yeah, I guess they are.
So nice. Well, I mean, you're very nice. And that made me start looking at you guys. And I'm like, are you guys all this fucking nice? And they're very nice.
Yeah, you know what it is? Okay, we're very hospitable. We're always taught in our culture that, like, when a guest comes to your house, you sleep on the floor, the guest gets the bed. If you're poor, your guest gets the last piece of bread. You know, you don't eat until your guest eats. Your guest is a gift from God. That's how we're taught in India, that your guest is sent from God. So I think maybe that's why, is that when you meet someone new, you're very hospitable.
Yeah, because America, a guest is seen as like a bummer. Like, everyone's like, what the hell? It's like, what the hell are you doing here, man? And you're like, take my bed, have all my food, like, take whatever you want.
Yeah, Americans are kind of like, you couldn't get a hotel? And Indians are like, please take everything. I can't do a very good accent, obviously. But I thought that was pretty funny. Big fan of Indians. Here was a fun moment we had. Check this one out.
What kind of music do you like?
What kind of music do I like?
Yes.
Where's your accent from?
Scotland.
You guys came here from Scotland?
Yes.
Shut up. Really? You guys just flew in this morning from Scotland for this?
We're on vacation.
Oh, nice. Cool. Thank you. Thanks for being here. I love Scottish music.
Thank you for having us.
I just said that because you're here. No, but seriously, I'm not even trying to be trite. I've said that word a lot today, so I'm just going to use it, trite. I'm not being facetious, but I love singer-songwriters from where you guys are from. Really. I know Irish singer-songwriters. Damien Rice, Glenn Hansard. I'm huge fans of theirs. And I like dirty hip-hop, too. Do you like dirty hip-hop?
Not back home, no. No.
AC/DC, did you guys see the concert?
Yeah.
How was it?
Superb.
I heard he's still rocking it, man. Yeah. How old is he, 70?
65, I believe.
65?
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing to have his energy at 65.
Can you say you'll never take our freedom? bro, no joke.
You can
right
take our lives.
I'm trying to learn Spanish from a Scottish dude,
Yeah.
There's a Coffee Break Espanol. It's a podcast, and it's taught by a Scottish dude, so I think I'm developing a Scottish accent in Spanish.
You can take our lives, but you'll never take our freedom.
Yeah! Needless to say, Scottish people are awesome. Yeah, that was... If I was Scottish, I would just constantly be saying that. I'd be like, you can take my order, but you'll never take my freedom. And it's like, dude, you're at Starbucks. And it's like, I don't care. We're Scottish. Rah, rah, rah. Yeah, I'm listening to Coffee Break Espanol. Scottish people are, I hope that I'm not learning Spanish with a Scottish accent. But it's like, hola, amigo. Amigo. No, I'm just kidding. They're actually really good. All right, I'm going to play a couple more clips. And this one is a really good one. This is, this is about hipsters. Ah, I love it. I love it. Check this one out.
I think it's funny. The hipster culture is very funny to me. Is that you walk down the street in Silver Lake or like Echo Park or something now, and it's like the Civil War. It's like dudes in top hats and monocles. I mean, they have better facial hair than, like, they have better facial hair than, like, my wife's, like, head hair. They've spent so much time on beeswax and quaffing that it's, like, literally, I feel like someone's going to pull out a sword and I challenge you to a duel, so.
Like, smallpox has broke out.
And now they're drinking coffee that has, like, bat droppings in it.
Yeah, and when you pointed that out in your book that it takes a lot of effort to look like you don't care. I always thought that was true.
Yes. When we had Danica McKellar on the show, who plays Winnie Cooper in The Wonder Years, this is the first chapter of the book, is when I had my first kiss in eighth grade, in eighth class in India, I didn't know how to kiss, and I just watched Wonder Years. And Kevin and Winnie had their first kiss in the park, and Kevin, who played by Fred Savage, closes his eyes throughout the whole kiss. I said, okay, so I'll just keep my eyes closed. So I closed my eyes, and I thought of Kevin and Winnie kissing, and that was my first kiss. And cut to... like life on Big Bang, real life, I don't know, whatever, TV life, Danica came to play a character, got to make out with Raj, so I got to kiss her in real life. It's the first chapter in the book, and so I see that she's coming to set, and I'm freaking out, and I'm like, I have these like jeans, I went and bought these torn jeans, you know, I bought the torn jeans, like $200 torn jeans, you know, and I bought this, like, I wore a beanie and a torn t-shirt and torn jeans, and I was standing by the food. It was like, what's up, guys? You know, but I had spent 8 hours deciding what to wear, trying to look cool. The day I met my wife, I was wearing a Ashton Kutcher trucker hat. It said Olé. Trying to be cultural. I was wearing like, you know those like Ray-Ban thick black glasses that everyone started wearing? I had no like lenses in them. Like a navy pea coat with a white t-shirt. So bad. Woolen cut-off gloves. Jeans, like Converse. I said to her, I was like, yeah, I'm an actor. I'm on The Big Bang Theory. She's like, is that a porno?
So good. Here's a perfect example right here of the difference between Kunal and myself. Someone in the crowd asked, they're like, you're our favorite character. Is there any way that they can write you even more stuff because we love you so much? Why don't you always get all the storylines? You know, and this, watch how like nice and humble his response is. And if I was in his position, what my response would be. I don't know if this is a cultural thing or if I'm just a dickhead. But check this out.
Every time I open that script, which I get one day before table read, is like Christmas. Because I can't believe myself that I'm on this show, that I get to say these words with these incredible actors. So, it's a difficult question to answer. It's very sweet of you to say. We have 7 incredible actors on that show and incredible writers, and I just trust them implicitly. So every Wednesday is like Christmas morning. I read that script and I'm just happy to be on stage, you know?
We try not to flood the market with gold.
Yeah, dog. So good.
That's so good.
Yeah. I think he's a better person than me. That's a fact. He's like, I'm just so blessed to work with these amazing people. I'd be like, they're flooding the market with gold when they use me too much. Yeah, and they know it. Too much cock hurts. You just want my first 8 inches. That's it. After that, trust me, you can't handle it. Yeah, his way is much better, and it's awesome. I blame it on the fact that stand-up comedians, I think, develop PTSD. Because we have to, I've done so many shows in just such hostile environments that it takes effort to not be that pound dog that's like, you don't think I get enough storylines? It's because they can't handle my heat. Yeah, stand-ups are like rappers. And Kunal is more like an actual artist than an actual human being. Stand-ups are like, what do you mean, is Pepsi okay? Well, you think I'm on coke? That's why I've recommended this book a few times, but thanks for the feedback. Or is that the name of it? Where is it? It's Thanks for the Feedback, I believe. It's about how to handle criticism, both positive and negative, and how much you bring to the table from your own perspective. It is like the Bible for me at this point, because I am a good person, I believe, but I can react terribly to things that aren't even there. And our whole society is doing that constantly now, by the way, because of the internet. Internet is great. You never want to go back on that, but it's pretty insane. People were reacting to ghosts. That Star Wars thing, I spotted that from a mile away, by the way. I can smell it. When they were boycott Star Wars because a bunch of racists were saying it was racist, I was like, no racist is boycotting Star Wars. Real racists don't watch Star Wars and they don't tweet. They are on a compound or they are working somewhere in a terrible job. They're not on social media as much. I knew that was made up. I knew it. And it turned out it was made up. I was right. I tried to start a boycott Owen Benjamin thing just to try and help promote some stand-up shows. I think it could work. I think people like to fight against things. You find one dumb woman in Kentucky that won't marry two gay guys. Just one. And everyone's fighting against it, like it's an actual invasion. I think as animals, we're so used to being invaded and conquered and war that when we experience peace, we don't know how to handle it. Okay, this last clip is awesome. Basically, someone in the crowd asked Kunal for advice, and he gave it. And the reason I recommend his book so much is because it's very, very honest. There's no agenda. He's just telling you his life. He's telling you what he's learned. He's not one of those false humble guys, because I can spot that a mile away too. Those guys annoy me more than anything. Because he'll like honestly say, he's like, yeah, I'm kicking ass right now. My wife was Miss India. She's awesome. She's my best friend. She's hot. Like he knows. He's just honest, man. So read his book. Yes, my accent is real. Here's the last clip of our talk. There's a lot more talk. And as I said earlier, you can check it out at livetalksla.org, which is short for orgasm. That would be kind of cool. .orgasm.com. All right, he gives some advice. Check it out.
I got a note once that I was being too big when I was doing Sullivan and Son, and I started slouching. Because I didn't understand what they meant. I thought I was too big.
Oh, because of physical
person? Yeah, I literally was like trying to, and I was like, hey! Like, I was still going big.
But you were like slouching to make your physical body smaller?
I thought they meant I was too big.
That's so stupid.
I'm stupid.
But you're not. You're like, that's one of the smartest people I know. Owen's being very humble. He's an incredible comedian and one of my dear friends. So if you have time tonight, he's doing a show at the Hollywood Improv.
I'll bring some heat.
And no one wants to come anymore.
No. If you're going to give advice to somebody, because a lot of people want advice from people like you, it's like, so what have you learned? Like, what should I do? What would you tell someone who just moved to America from another country and wants to be pursue their dream, whatever that would be?
Hands down, just be yourself.
Right.
Hands down. I never tried to pretend to be anyone else. I wore myself on my sleeve. I'm not saying that there are moments where I pretend to be someone else because I'm insecure. That's very common. Sound like yourself. Behave like yourself. I just feel like too many people come from different countries and try to blend in. But what makes you beautiful is from the place that you are. Everything you've learned in your whole life has led you up to that moment, and now you're going to erase it because you want to sound like someone else. What the hell is the point? Right? Like, if you come here and you're like, man, I'll have a cheeseburger and some fries or something, something like that, like, because you're afraid of being ridiculed. People do that because you feel insecure. You feel afraid to be ridiculed. But you just have to wear yourself proudly on your sleeve. Otherwise, what makes you special? What makes you special otherwise? Everything you've learned in your life that is special, that's brought you here, that's made you who you are, if you erase all of that in a moment, then you're just like everyone else's story. You have to live your own story. I know it's easier said than done. And there were days when people would laugh at me, and I thought they weren't laughing at me. I thought I was laughing with them. You know, I'd laugh with them. I don't even get that joke, but I'm laughing. But it didn't make me sad. It didn't make me sad.
Yeah, it's almost like a philosophical question would be, if you think they're laughing with you and not at you, and you just laugh with them, then were they ever laughing at you?
You disarm them.
Yeah, exactly.
You disarm them.
Yeah, you just turn it around. You're like, totally. Like, I'm a big...
But I looked a lot like I was laughing at walls. Because sometimes, like, people would, like, be in a group making a joke. And I'd be like, so good. And I'd be laughing, and there's no one here. Like, I had no one to respond to, but I wanted to be part of the group. So good.
You're like sharing the moment with a wall.
Yeah.
A lot of musicians do that right before they sing a ballad. They like look like it's like meaningful to someone. There's no one there.
No, that's so true.
Yeah, they're like, this next one's from one of my first albums. And there's never anyone there.
No, like no one.
Yeah.
But it looks like there is. Like, I'll come out and I'll point at people like, hey, good to see you. Thanks for being here. It's no one, it's a stranger.
You get pulled over in an HOV lane, you think that works with a cop?
HOV is a...
When you got to have two people in the car to have the money lane.
Oh, like, and can you be like,
yeah, hey. Can you be like, what do you, can you believe this guy? And there's no one there. And the cop's like...
Yeah, but then you can always claim that you're like schizophrenic, right? Or you can be like, hey, I didn't take my medication today. You can't put me in jail because I have a medical condition.
Yeah. Or let's say you have a dog and you're like, how dare you think that Gary looks like a dog?
Yeah.
That's it, guys. Be yourself, because no one else can have your story. And as much as the society now is pushing individuality and how dare you say that and everyone is the same and everyone, it's actually kind of the opposite. Like, let yourself be lonely. Let yourself feel like you don't feel like a part of a group, because maybe you're not organically supposed to be in that group. Maybe adapting is what makes us human. You know, maybe if someone laughs at you, you don't run to the internet or run to mom and dad and run, maybe you start laughing with them. And it's almost like in science, there's the absolute value, where if something's negative 10 or 10, it's still 10. The absolute value doesn't matter if it's positive or negative. There's an absolute value to laughter. From one of my other episodes called Ninja Pirate, you can hear the story about when I used to really want to be a pirate when I was a little fat kid, and then I got shot in the eye with a BB gun, and I had to wear a patch. And so kids made fun of me for being a pirate, and I was finally happy. That I think that we should accept ridicule and just laugh with them. Because having social advocacy hashtags fight your battles for you isn't going to help you. Listen to him. He came to America just from a normal Indian family, got on the biggest show in the world, and is still a really good dude. So he knows what he's talking about. And I highly recommend his book. Yes, My Accent Is Real. My accent is not real. I'm actually Scottish. But I don't let anyone know that because I'm trying to fit in desperately. So I will be at the Brea Improv November 12th through the 14th in this month of in the month of November. I'm doing a show tonight at the Hollywood Improv, but it's going to be too late for me to promote that one. Oh, I'm doing, this is going to be fun, on Monday. Add me on Twitter and Facebook so I can just, you can be reminded. I'm at Owen Benjamin on Twitter, Owen Benjamin Comedy on Facebook, Owen Benjam on Instagram, because an Asian baby already had Owen Benjamin, and he's got a lot of hashtags. But Monday I'm doing the Comedy Jam, which is, if you live in LA, it's one of the most fun shows there is. It's going to be me and David Koechner from Anchorman and Jim Jefferies from just all of comedy. Huge, huge Australian comedian. Really, really funny. And the whole deal is we do a little stand-up, and then we have an actual band play a song that matches the story we're talking about. So I'm not going to say what song mine is, but it's going to be fun. So that's at the Lyric Theater. It's called the Goddamn Comedy Jam or the Damn Comedy Jam, but it's one of those just super magical shows. But so will be Brea, November 12th to the 14th. You can get tickets at the improv.com or hit me up personally. My opener is Kevin Hickerson, who's the Caltech nuclear physicist, who's almost too smart for his own good. He's so smart that, I think he's almost insane. But he's a dear friend, and I love him, and he's opening up. So we are going to have a blast. But so spread the word on this podcast. Tell your friends to give it a listen. Make sure you pick up Kunal's book and rate, comment, and subscribe. You guys kick ass. Much love. Peace.